We are checking in on tick and mosquito season on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Glad you could be here. A variety of diseases can be spread by ticks, and the Department of Health Services says it's deer ticks that are spreading the most illnesses here. The risk of Lyme disease and other tick-borne diseases is increasing as our state is seeing more months of the year when ticks are active. Have you seen any in your area? What are you doing to protect yourself? We're at 800-642-1234. Lyric Bartholomew is a UW-Madison professor who studies infectious disease agents and mosquitoes, ticks, and other parasites. She's director of the Midwest Center of Excellence for Vector-Borne Disease. Lyric, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Morning. It's so nice to be with you again.
Well, how is the tick population looking for Wisconsin at this point?
You know, we had an update yesterday in our Center of Excellence to hear about ticks and mosquitoes across a sort of five-state region, and it seems like it's patchwork. So in some places, we're seeing perhaps more ticks, maybe in the southern part of the state, but in the northern part of the state, it looks pretty similar to years previous. So it seems like it's probably a sort of individualized experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in this patchwork, though, have you seen ticks spread basically across the state?
You know, we really have seen those black-legged ticks that you mentioned, Kate, march their way across the state. I say that, but, you know, of course, they've got to be clinging to something else.
I like the imagery. Yeah.
right. But in fact, in order to migrate, they really move on some other animal. So with the movement of deer and birds and other things, ticks have tracked across the state. And we've really found them in all but just a couple of counties. And I have no doubt they're in those counties too.
Well, Lyric, what helps ticks thrive? The warmer months, of course, the warmer weather, but what also helps them produce?
Yeah, you know, and interestingly, Kate, ticks are super cold hardy too. So they're not terribly fazed by the deep cold. They're of course not super active during that time, but they can survive a Wisconsin winter better than you and I can, you know, out on the forest floor. But ticks are really happy in places where they have access to blood. That's the bottom line. And so what we see is when populations of mice are thriving and populations of deer are thriving, ticks have really what they need in order to have robust populations.
We're talking with Lyric Bartholomew, who's a UW-Madison professor, studies infectious disease agents in mosquitoes and ticks. She's giving us a read on tick season around the state, taking your questions. Have you been seeing more ticks in your area? What are you doing to protect yourself? Have you had Lyme disease? What was that like? 800-642-1234 to join in. Jan is here from Oak Creek. Hi, Jan. You found a tick on yourself.
Yes, I did this morning about an hour ago, and I think from what I see on the internet, it might be a Lone Star tick because it has a little white dot on it.
Okay.
So I want to know what I should do.
Well, Jan, I'm so glad that you found the tick on you. You did all the right things by checking around and finding it on you and getting it off. So that's the first step. Well done. And then if you'd like, we, through the University of Wisconsin, and especially at Susan Paskowitz's lab, the Wisconsin Medical Entomology Lab, we do have services available to citizens to take a picture and send us a picture of your tick, and we can help to confirm the identification. So if you have a smartphone, can take a photo and upload it to the medical entomology site at UW-Madison, some of our experts here on campus would be able to identify it for you. And confirm or deny whether it's a Lone Star tick. I know a lot of people are concerned about that tick making its way into Wisconsin.
And
good
when
on you.
Yeah, the Lone Star tick, would that be from Texas?
It's definitely a southern tick, yes.
Okay.
And so it's aptly named. But it's been really interesting to watch that tick over the last 10 or 15 years or so. Since I've been in this business, it's really, as I said with the black-legged tick, it's really marched its way, in this case, northward. So used to be a tick that we really thought of as being, you know, sort of south in the United States. And we see it increasingly more my colleagues from Minnesota were just mentioning that a lot of people had encountered Lone Star ticks in Minnesota. So it could well be that Jan has one, and we'd like to know.
Jan,
the other thing that we have, Kate, is we also offer something called the Tick App. So we've developed this app for smartphone use. So if people have interest in ticks and they want to get updates on what to do for tick prevention and have access to easy access to tick identification services, we offer the Tick App as well. So I encourage people who are interested in using their smartphones and providing us with information about the ticks they see to put that on and enroll in our study.
Yeah, and we have a link to the Tick App at wpr.org/mornings. I want to go back to Jan for a moment. Jan, were you out in grass or an area where there have been ticks before? Do you know where you got it?
Yeah, I don't know where I got it. I woke up and when I was taking a shower, I looked down and here it was sitting on my abdomen.
Oh.
And it was sort of attached. It wasn't like engorged or anything, but it was like, I thought, what's that spot? And I pulled it off and I said, sure enough, it's got legs and it's a tick.
Good for you for finding it. That's great.
Yeah. Jan, thank you so much for the call. Lyric, you helped develop that Tick App. What are you learning from the app?
It's been so interesting to have the app and have people telling us about where they're encountering ticks. So just like Jan's story, we're getting to hear stories on a really broad scale with thousands of users across the United States. And we're learning things about when and where they're encountering ticks. So just like the question you just asked, Kate, we're fueled by the same idea. What are people doing when they're outdoors that puts them in contact with ticks? And one of the things that we saw by studying both Wisconsin and the Midwest and also the Northeast is that there are real differences in people's behavior between the Midwest and Northeast in terms of how much people like to be outdoors. And so we found that Wisconsinites, for example, and not surprisingly, are pretty outdoorsy and do things like mow their own lawns and spend a lot of time, engaging in recreational activities. And that was different from what Northeasterners were doing. Hmm. And so we may be out more, encountering more ticks. We've also really seen ticks kind of moving into spaces that we hadn't predicted them to be. That the black-legged ticks tend to like sort of scrubby, brushy areas around and in forests. And some of our team members, both through the Tick App and through surveillance that we've been doing, have started to see ticks more in people's backyards.
Mm.
The other thing that we're really interested in and what is what have the impacts of the pandemic been on people's exposure to ticks? And people were actually trying to stay socially distant from other people, but sometimes really we're getting outdoors more. And so the paradox perhaps is that in order to avoid the virus, people may have been encountering more ticks just because they were outdoors more.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. Amy now in Beloit with an experience. Amy, hi.
Hi, good morning. I wanted to talk to you about an experience my husband and I had a few weeks ago. We were camping in Tomahawk, Wisconsin, and had found incredible numbers of ticks, that had both bitten us and that we were trying to pull off before they bit us. And a few days later, my husband developed a fever of 103 degrees that lasted for 4 days until we got to the doctor. And the doctor tested him for Lyme disease and put him on doxycycline, an antibiotic, and he got better. But the nurses that I work with did some research and said, we don't think he tested negative for Lyme, but they said, we think he has anaplasmosis, which I guess is the black tick or the black legged tick, disease that they carry. And then shortly after that, I developed a bullseye rash. And so the two of us have large bottles of doxycycline that are, you know, kind of a miserable thing to take. But I just couldn't believe that the illness that my husband had, and had no idea that this problem was developing in Wisconsin already.
Amy, thank you for sharing that experience. Lyric.
Amy, this is a really important story. And it really underscores one of the things that's kind of unique and frustrating about Wisconsin ticks is that we have just found more and more different types of diseases that can be transmitted by that black-legged tick that's happening here in Wisconsin. And so, you know, we see that sometimes ticks are infected with more than one bacterium and can transmit more than one thing to people. So you've seen it. There are at least a handful of different things that ticks transmit in Wisconsin: anaplasmosis, ehrlichiosis, and Lyme. And people do encounter them, and we're seeing probably an increase, especially in anaplasmosis cases over the years. So it's an unfortunate situation, but just like our previous caller, Janet, kudos to you, right, for noticing the ticks, for noticing that you had symptoms after being in contact with those ticks, and for really getting into the doctor's office to get doxycycline. If we can catch them early, we can do a tremendous job of keeping people healthy.
Lyric Bartholomew is a UW-Madison professor, studies infectious disease agents in ticks and mosquitoes, other parasites as well. What questions do you have about repellents? Have you tried natural repellents? What's worked? 800-642-1234. Back in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're discussing tick and mosquito season here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Wisconsin is home to dozens of species of mosquitoes, thanks to UW-Madison's entomology department for that accounting. And notably, too, they say many of these are not found biting people. How are the mosquitoes in your community this year? Are they super aggressive, not so bad? Do you wear insect repellents? What works to prevent bites? 800-642-1234. Lyric Bartholomew is UW-Madison professor and stays with us. Lyric, we're going to move on to mosquitoes in a moment, but Kevin in Dodge County wanted to ask about a vaccine, and I want to know, why can dogs get vaccinated against Lyme disease and people cannot?
You know, we've had a sort of fraught history when it comes to vaccines and Lyme disease. There was a Lyme vaccine that was approved for use in humans, and then some of the side effects associated with that vaccine and probably the extent to which there was profitability of the vaccine made it so that it came off of the market shelf. And there is still that vaccine for dogs. And I think a lot of people have noted exactly what Kevin and Kate have noted, that a vaccine would be really helpful, especially in a place like Wisconsin where, you know, we're really a kind of hot spot for Lyme and other tick-borne diseases. It would be great to imagine having a vaccine. And the federal government has started to invest more in a bigger way in laboratories across the U.S. that are trying to do the work to figure out what would be the best way to vaccinate people against Lyme bacteria. It's kind of a complicated one because, you know, we can get Lyme disease repeatedly. It's a pathogen that can really change the way it appears to avoid our immune systems, and so it's
tricky.
Real bear of a problem. But there are some labs that are tackling it now, and we, you know, can be hopeful.
Let's go to Carla in Madison. Carla, hi.
Hi. Recently, I was diagnosed with QCVR, which is coccilia. And I know it comes from large animals, but I haven't been around, worked with large animals in a long time. And we also know it is a tick disease. It's a rickettsia, so it can be spread by ticks like Lyme and anaplasmosis. I was wondering if you know what species of ticks might be carrying it, and if we do see it in ticks in Wisconsin. I don't recall having a tick on me, but, you know, this is our current working diagnosis. I have Q fever.
Mm. Wow. That's an intense diagnosis, and thank you for calling in to talk about it. That's right. This is one of those interesting diseases where there's transmission potential from ticks, but there are other environmental exposure possibilities. As far as I know, we haven't seen it very often as a tick-related disease in Wisconsin. But I'm glad that you've caught it and you're tackling it. And I'm sorry to hear that you've gotten that diagnosis.
Our labs testing pretty aggressively ticks to see what diseases they're carrying?
This is a great question. This is something that we really benefit from having great colleagues at the Centers for Disease Control in Fort Collins, Colorado, in particular. There's this epicenter of folks who are studying ticks and tick-borne diseases. And they're doing a lot of diagnostics in ticks to understand what ticks are infected with and kind of what the risk is according to how many ticks are infected and what life stage of ticks are infected. So the CDC does a lot of that. And it's really sort of state to state in terms of capacity. It's not something where, so we don't test ticks for, as a general rule, as they come off of people at the state level, but there are some labs that would do that. So if you had a tick on you, you could find a laboratory and contract them to test for ticks.
Oh.
It's all kind of done in a scattershot kind of way. So it depends on the level of capacity in the state and who has the expertise and the resources to get that done.
Expertise and capacity, I would imagine. Yeah. Talking with Lyric Bartholomé, who is a UW-Madison professor, studies infectious disease agents in mosquitoes, ticks, and other parasites. Lisa is joining us from Brookfield. Hi, Lisa. What is your situation?
Good morning. I have a child. Well, she's not a child anymore. She's an adult, but she's had severe headaches, and one of her doctors thought it was a Lyme disease or whatever, but I don't remember if she ever tested her for it. And I was just wondering if that's something a primary doctor would do, or do you need to go to a specialist? That lady was a specialist, but she did. I don't remember her testing her for Lyme disease.
Who tests for Lyme disease? Yeah, great question.
Yeah. So you certainly can go to your primary care doctor and ask for a Lyme disease test, or there are also at the UW, for example, really great people who are experts in infectious disease who might be able to do that for you too.
Jim and called in from Juneau called to say 2 years ago, Jim was a tower technician for a cell phone tower. And when they looked down at the gravel base, there was a carpet of ticks. And Jim is wondering, are they attracted to the heat? What attracts ticks?
Oh, isn't that interesting? I wonder what kind of tick that was.
I bet you do.
Yeah. So it brings up a sort of tangential story, so forgive me, but there's a new tick that has invaded the U.S. Called the Asian longhorn tick, Haemophysalis longicornis. And that tick is we first started seeing it over in the northeastern states, and it's progressively moving westward. And that's a really interesting and kind of terrifying tick because it doesn't need males. It's what we call parthenogenic. So it's like females only, and they have this amazing reproductive potential. So there's like swarms of ticks. And a friend of mine from the CDC showed me a video of those ticks swarming on a utility vehicle. So the utility vehicle was running and the exhaust was, of course, moving out into the air, and the truck was just moving with these ticks that had swarmed around it. Sort of the thing out of nightmares or a B movie. And it could be that in that case, those ticks were attracted to heat, maybe, right? And then also some of the elements that were in the exhaust of the truck. As far as a tower goes, that's a super interesting observation. And it could be that the ticks were somehow attracted to something going on there. It could also be that there just happened to be like a nest of ticks that had, been left there by the mother tick the year before or something like that. So it'd be really interesting to know what kind of tick it was that you saw under the tower.
Well, Lyric, thank you so much for joining us.
It's always fun to join you, Kate. Thank you for the invitation.
Lyric Bartholomew is a UW-Madison professor who studies infectious disease agents in mosquitoes, ticks, other parasites. She's director of the Midwest Center of Excellence for Vector-Borne Disease. Ahead this hour, we look at the recent Supreme Court ruling involving a Pennsylvania high school cheerleader who was punished by her school for her social media posts. Should schools be allowed to do this? What does it mean for freedom of speech? 800-642-1234. Stay with us. News update is next on the Ideas Network.